Have a time. Okay. We're holding here. I think we finished pretty much the maral on the previous maral, the one that speaks about the long, about the, you know, being buried and the v'chula v'chula tachasat apuach. And I think we're holding by the next one, which is Rav Shmuel. So let's see the agarata inside, and then we'll go there. It's agarata in the En Yaakov. It is Lamed Hey is the paragraph. Vayemach mitzayin lam yalsi ivrius Rav Shmuel chadam isha bita v'chadam akal v'chamoisa. So it's machlokes whether it's isha bita or kal v'chamoisa. Mando ma isha bita. It's Yocheved to Miriam. Man de Oma, Kala v'chamoisa, Yocheved v'elisheva. And then we have the Tanya command de Oma, Isho Bito, Shifras Yocheved, and so on. So basically the two people here were Yocheved with either her daughter Miriam or Kala. The Achronim here in Pshat explain, like, how did they know that it's related in any way, you know, maybe just two random ladies. So they say, because in the pasuk it says shema achas v'shema shenis. If usually in a pasuk when you talk about two random ones, you say shema achas v'shema achas. You say each one as a you know, it's its own. It's when you say one and two that there's some sort of kesher between the two. That's the pshat, how they knew it. The morale is going to speak about another point, and he speaks in another place. How come it's so anonymous? I mean, there happen to be two ladies. You're talking about Yocheved and Miriam. You know, two ladies. He told the two ladies of Mialdos, or Moshe Rabbeinu, this the Maral speaks over there. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that a man went from Shevet Levi and took a woman. What about the names? Like, why is there no name? I remember as a young boy, I davened in a very big shul, Bialystok shuls, my father's shamus there. So I would look at the plaques, and I decided that the largest family in Kol Yisrael is named Anonymous, because a lot of them would have anonymous, anonymous, anonymous. So, I mean, this is very anonymous. There's only one place actually where anonymous is actually pointed out. That is by Pliny Almoni, where you have it by Rus. But over here, why? So it says like this. V'nira lekach lehiskos b'shmom loyma sheshem achas yechevet mipnei sheloy timtso shem yechevet koydem leides Moshe. You don't find your chevet before Moshe's later. V'hainu שלא יתאימה כי נולד מוישה מצר אמרם ויוחבת, שהם בני אדם פרוטים. You should not say that Moshe came from אמרם יוחבת as פרוטיסטיק אנושים. שדוב הזה אינוי, כי לפי מיילס מוישה מדרגוסוי, שמוישה נבדל מכל אדם על פני אדמה, כאשר ידוע ממדרגס מוישה. ואם יוימה הכוסב, כי מוישה נולד מאמרם ויוחבת, Bnei Adam Pratim, Naral says, Lehoya Moshe Nivdal Mikodam, Shay Messiachis al Ovid Mashu Prati, Vahol Pratu Helek. Lefigur Sivy Elach Ishmi Basley, Vikar Spasley, the Leniska Beledosa, Shem Ovid Befrat, Shlehoyle Siachis Adam Prati Zaklal, Rakal Ishbistam. Vizel Madrega Yosim Shilo Yelichis al Adam Prati. So let's discuss what he's talking about over here. And again, he says this, Naral speaks about this, Barichos also. When he speaks about the Isha Levi and Bas Levi. If we ask ourselves, what is Moshe Rabbeinu's Kshivas and Kal Yisrael? So that he was the biggest of Nevi'im, or the biggest of something or other, is not right. That's not the Kshivas. That's not his place. I mean, he may have been the biggest, but that and in any other area also, it's Torah, any other part of the picture. There's a musig of being koilel. For instance, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was at one time the Sanhedrin, the Novi, the Kohen Gadol, the Melech. And the answer, why? I mean, we know that there is that all of these belong to different shvatim. The Kohanim were the Kohanim of Chashmonaim had the downfall because they took Meluchot they shouldn't have taken. So why is it that we feel it's okay for it to be all in Moshe Rabbeinu's hands? The answer is because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is Echad, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself encompasses everything in a way that nothing is different than anything else. When Torah comes to us, when Nevuah comes to us, anything comes to us, it takes on a very, very specific flavor. So that's kefi people, and every person hears differently, and so on. So and that's why there is a Torah. It says in the Sfarim that the shishim ribu people, because there are shishim ribu halakim of Torah. The Goyim says it. The shishim ribu halakim, and each person has a different nekuda in Torah. So there has to be a Torah in this world that is koilel everything. In other words, if there wouldn't be a reflection of that, then the bridge between us and one would not be there. Unless we would see the connection where things become one, we would have a bifurcation like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is koilel everything. Is kolam yachad, the world is pieces, and where is the nexus? Where do they connect? So there's an akud in this world that is a mirror image of the Ribbono Shalom's midah of echad. We have it in the hanhag of the world. It says kishmi bekirboy matatrin. The Rabbi Mechaya speaks about it. Matatrin is the sarah pnim. Matatrin is a malach, which nominally is a specific koyach, and yet it's koilel everything. So that's everything, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is echad. So you have in this world also something which represents that all encompassing. I want to use a mashal that I think is very important. You have, let's say, a prime minister or a president. He includes the entire country and all its different subdivisions are all part of him. You have ministers, and these ministers deal with a specific department, minister of defense, minister of this, minister of that. You have somebody who is, let's say, the chief of staff of the prime minister, of the president, that type of person. So on the one hand, he is an extension of the prime minister or the president's all-encompassing. Anyone who wants to talk to the prime minister or the president goes through this person. So this person has a quality of power that is similar to his boss, but doesn't have any specific power. He's much less powerful than the defense minister is in his ministry and the finance minister in his ministry and so on. On the other hand, he also needs the maila of being totally butthole to his boss. So you have, the defense minister has a lot of power. The power has been endowed to him by the prime minister who appointed him. But once he's defense minister, he can make a lot of decisions on his own and run the defense ministry. And he has to report back to the boss. But it's really, there's a certain level of discretion and he's running it. The chief of staff has no, he can't let in people that he wants or likes or feels. He's basically there to be mevatel his das, and he's supposed to know what the president wants or what the prime minister wants, and that's the people that sit. So this type of position needs to have in itself a nekuda of being koil everything, and therefore totally bottle to the boss, as opposed to an area where you have specific powers. You're your own person. You're not bottled to the boss. You owe accountability to the boss. You can be fired, you can be hired, but there's a certain realm of self and so on. In the big, big, big picture, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave out different gifts, and he made many different people, shvatim, mishpachos, and individuals. And this reflects itself in Chalkei HaTorah. It reflects itself in reflects itself in Kehuna. That's one type of Ruchnius. Malchus is the second type of Ruchnius. Sanhedrin is another type of Ruchnius. After, from Moshe Rabbeinu, post Moshe Rabbeinu onwards, it's impossible to overlap the two. A Kohen cannot be a Melech cannot be a Kohen. A Navi has no Shaychus to any Shevet. Torah has no Shaychus, and each one is its own world. There was once when all of them came together, because you need to establish that Be'etzem, these are all coming from one place. If they weren't coming from one place, then they would be different. It's like, if I can give a mashal, when you have a family, so children are different, and yet there's a common denominator because they came from the same shorish, both genetically and you know, environmentally. They came from the same background. So you get both pieces in it. You get the commonality of everybody. You can see is such and such, but you're very different than your brother. One of the amazing things is, you know, you look at two brothers and you say, you know, you're so different yet you're both Goldsteins. I can see it on you that you're Goldstein. It has both together. So the Pchinas Moshe Rabbeinu is someone who has it all and nothing specific. Just because Moshe Rabbeinu had that power doesn't mean that he was automatically going to be a tzaddik. That they have to keep stressing that. He had what was needed to be Moshe Rabbeinu, which is this Bechina of being koil, and post facto, once he is what he was, so now he's so now we describe him, the Torah describes him as coming from nobody. Had he been a son of somebody, and now when the Torah writes that somebody is somebody's son, it's not just for the purposes of your sort of not Yankel from Borough Park, Yankel from Bensonhurst. It's there to describe a certain trait of a person. A person is a son of a father. So had the Torah written a son of, that automatically would have meant that Moshe Rabbeinu's kolchos are part of Moshe Rabbeinu's kolchos are a branch, not the trunk itself. So the Torah, and this is what he writes, until Moshe Rabbeinu is born, his parents are not referred to by name. They're parents, but that's it. Moshe Rabbeinu is not Ben Amram, even though we do use the word Ben Amram a lot in the Gemara, Ben Amram, this and that. But Tachlis, the Torah says, he is something that supersedes his family, his parents, and so forth. Another area where I want to point this out that it's very important. We speak about Moshe Rabbeinu saw things by Sbaklaria HaMe'ira, and the other Nevi'im did not see Sbaklaria HaMe'ira. What's the difference? In other words, how do we describe what a Sbaklaria HaMe'ira is and it's not? So the Rambam's mashal is, everyone's mashal is a difference between a mirror, a glass that has dirt on it, and so on. The Rambam speaks specifically about the chumrius. Everything passes through a person's filter of gashmius, and that affects what we see. That's how the Rambam describes the difference between the different rias. There's another way of understanding this difference, and I'll use again a certain dogma. One of the aberrations that creep into glass is what's called chromatic aberration. The glass has a tint to it. a glint to it. It's bluish, it's reddish, it's yellowish. There's some sort of, not quite, the light has some tinge of color. And the reason is because, you know, it's either has a chemical in it that's absorbing other colors, or the chemical is the glass is acting somewhat like prism-like, and therefore you're getting different colors. It says Ein Shnei Neviim Misnabim B'Signon Echad. So that means that every Navi receives his Nevuah through the angle that his mind works. Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't overbearing. He looked to everyone like his own kind. To these people, he looked like a Zaken, and to this person, he looked like Menekes. And every person, kefi, the type of person he could relate to, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu came across. It's not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an image for each one. That's how it speaks to each person. So every Navi, because he's on a Madrega where his Metzias is limited, it's kind of, I'm such a type of person. I'm a Shevet Levi person. I'm a Shevet Yisachar person. I'm a Shevet Binyamin person. B'meila, I'm going to understand and see that part of it. Just like every glass that's colored it absorbs some of the light and reflects other light. So, and that's why it takes on that tinge. So every nevuah, because every person is individual, and no person can see the whole picture in its entirety, is seeing part of it. And that means, so LaMarshall, if let's say somebody works in a company and he comes to me with information about what's going on in the company, even if he's telling me the truth, I need to keep in mind that he's seeing part of the picture. And from his angle, this is happening, this happened, this happening. He doesn't see the entire picture. And unless I get sort of input from complementary places, I can only at best try to work with it and try to figure out what might be from the other angle. Any Navi that comes along is telling me part of the picture. Whatever he's telling me to do is true in its entirety. If the Navi comes along and says, Kriya Hashem, you should make Mohammed, you shouldn't make Mohammed, that's 100% true. But in terms of defining the event and giving me a picture of it, it's only part of it, because I can't do more than that. That's what I am. I'm a segment of the picture. Moshe Rabbeinu, so all Nevuah needs to be run against each other. Nevuah is emes. When you have all the Nevi'im together, you get a sense of the entire picture. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is coming from the totality perspective. And b'meila, it does not allow itself to be considered a metaphor, doesn't allow itself in any way to be considered part of the picture. It's the entire picture. It is the way it is. It is the best description that a human being could hear about Torah. It's not a particular angle. It is Torah itself. This is also the reason why no Navi can go against Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's explain where that comes from. If somebody is smarter than me, if somebody is much smarter than me, it's still possible that I could come up with a point he didn't come up. It's still possible that I can understand something better than him. I could still possibly be wrong. The chances keep decreasing as he's more and more chashev, and I'm less and less chashev. But the word impossible doesn't exist. It's like if I can give an example, when they have these Venn diagrams, you have a circle, a big circle, and a small circle. If the small circle intersects the big circle, or is certainly if it's not in it, then the small circle might encompass something the big circle doesn't encompass. But let's take that same diagram with the Venn circles, and the small circle's in the big circle. There's nothing in, by definition, there's nothing in the small circle that's not in the big circle. So the marshal, let's say somebody comes along, let's say I don't know information, but somebody told me I never went, I was never in China. And someone tells me in China, this. So I walk around and I'm a good memory and I can tell everybody what China's like. The one thing I can't do is contradict the person that told me, because my knowledge comes from him. As opposed to the person, if I'd been myself in China one day and he's been there 10 years, it is possible that I know something he doesn't know. But if I've never was in China and I got all my information from him, it's not shaykh that I would come along and say and know something he doesn't know. You know, Rebbe Leitoner, Rebchi Minolam. Rebchi got everything from Rebbe, so where does he get something that's not Rebbeinu HaKadosh? The Moshe Rabbeinu is the Avi HaNeviim. It doesn't mean he is the best Navi, the strongest Navi, and that's why he's more right than other Vim. If that were true, then first of all, it's not impossible. And more than that, it wouldn't be an Ikrei Emunah, really. It wouldn't be Emunah because you're not dealing in substance. You're dealing in something that happened to be. How do you rate Moshe Rabbeinu against Yeshua? Moshe Rabbeinu is far, far greater, and so on. But no, Moshe Rabbeinu is like a Chama, and Yeshua is like a Levana. The Shemesh is not brighter than the Levana. The Levana is a branch of the Har of the Shemesh. If somebody forgets to pay the bill and they put out the sun, the moon is dead. There's no moon without a sun. It doesn't work like that. So there's no Nevuah. Ava Nevi'im doesn't mean, when you say the granddaddy of Nevi'im, you don't mean to say that he's the brightest of Navi, the clearest. You mean to say Nevuah in this world is Nimsha for Moshe. Navi Kamayni. Moshe Rabbeinu is a Navi like me. It means it comes from me. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's Darga is the Darga that is, it's the circle that encompasses all of Nevuah. And the reason why that's absolutely necessary, it's not just happens to be. Or else all of Chachma would be splinters that don't come together. Let's give an example in the world of Chachma, so we'll have something compared to Nevuah. If a person reads books of philosophy, no two philosophers say the same thing. And there's no way a person can say, I have a shtickl Torah, that all philosophers be'etzim are saying the same thing. There is no such shtickl Torah. And also, there's no reason there should be something like that. Every single chatzkel who wrote a book on philosophy wrote his own thoughts. So you have 1,000, you have 10,000. We have 10,000 very, very intelligent works discussing what they think is right and wrong, so on and so forth. In science, you say, no, I can put all the science books together. Even the areas they disagree, I can pinpoint the point of disagreement and say it's going to be either this or that. All science books are going to have to be able to be put into one framework because they're dealing with the Metzius. So they might argue vehemently, but at the end of the day, they're arguing about the same points. They're both producing different results. And either or, I can run one against the other and come up with a picture that includes everything. Torah and Ruchnius needs to have, in this world, a point of where it's Echad. It needs to have a point where Torah is all one. So with all of the Ribui of Machlokes in Torah, there's one point that it comes to. And Nevuah needs to come from one point. Malchus and all of these Koiches themselves also need to come from one point. If they didn't come from one point, then Ruchnius and HaKadosh Baruch were just a splintering of different things. And that's what he says over here. So he says, had Moshe Rabbeinu was not an Adam Prati. He wasn't a Prat. Moshe Rabbeinu was the person that was called everything. I want to add a personal hargasha to this. Reb Chaim Shalevitz used to speak about the following. He would say that in the Vilna Gaon's time, The Vilna Gaon was not the Gadol HaDor. The Yehuda, others, the Vilna Gaon wasn't. And he would explain, he would say the Vilna Gaon transcended his Dor. Vilna Gaon wasn't the Gadol of the 1700s. Vilna Gaon is the Vilna Gaon. And that particular Dor had other Rabbanim that did the Paschim and so on and so forth. You know, if we look at it, we ask ourselves, Halaydavahu, the Goyen didn't have much of a yeshiva. The Goyen's writing are obscure to anybody but maybe a handful of people, maybe not. If we look at the Goyen in terms of Tachlis, anything specific, we would fall short. But the reason was because he transcended anything specific. There's some of the things to say about the Goyen they say that in his last years he just learned Chumash because he could see everything come from Chumash. And he said that everything's merumis in the first pasuk in Bereishis and then really in the first word of Bereishis. So what's the point of all that? It's a game. It's like, you know, I mean, what's the point of that type of approach? The answer is because the more you understand all of Torah as coming to a point, the more emes it is. If when Torah branches out and Torah becomes bits and pieces, so it's nice that each bit and piece got developed, but there's automatically a loss of the entire picture. It's Masha Ein Kein when you go back to the Shoresh and you can see all of Torah together on the head of a pin, then you have an emes that transcends the individual pieces. That was sort of what that Goyen's Torah was. And that's what Goyen himself. The Goyen himself had no yeshiva. The Goyen himself did not have a city. He was not consulted on rabbinic affairs. He didn't even sign Kol Koros. And he didn't and had nothing, no interaction. The only thing that we have of him actually on a public record is that they tried to get him involved in the machlokes of Rabbi Yonasan Eibishter and Rabbi Yaakov Emden, which is fascinating because Rabbi Yaakov Emden had never heard of him. There are two letters from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. The first one is what they found. He said some younger man at Vilna knows nothing, and they involved him. And then the second letter is a tremendous harocha years later, where I think he says that he holds like, I don't remember, but basically the guy wrote, I can't get into it. It's a terrible machlokas, and I want to have nothing to do with it. That's the bottom line of his letter. So he had no public stance, and yet the Goyen is above it. And the reason is because there needed to be some Torah that's koil everything. That's the way Hashgacha brought it. I'll get upon it. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not. If you look at this pattern, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. Yerushalayim was not nischalik l'shvatim. The reason is because Yerushalayim stands on top of Shvatim. Yerushalayim is something that transcends any particular Shevet. And b'meila, the heart of Klal Yisrael, the core of Klal Yisrael, is not Binyamin, not Yehuda, not Reuven, not Shimon, not Levi. It's a city that is sort of, it transcends. It's Klal Yisrael as a Klal. That's the music of it. Okay, so he says, V'zeh dafke koidim ledasei. Told us Moshe Lerbo Mikoyach Adam Prati. Vizeh, she'oz hoye Moshe Misyaches Leprati, v'lo hoye Moshe Nivdol Mikol HaAdam. Ki HaProti Hu Chelek, v'kashe hoye Yichus La'ove Mitzadju Ish Bolvad, eno seach some Prati zeh, v'u Nivdol K'shor L'mas Moshe. If Moshe, in other words, the way the Torah lists it, that a man came, married a woman, and that's it, it's basically telling me that Moshe Rabbeinu needed a father and a mother, biological father and mother, but his own mitzvah transcends it. Post facto, we list them because it's not telling me any more about his what caused him, what's the root of him. Okay, so that's the piece over here where he explains why he calls it Isha Kala, a Kala and Bita and so on and so forth. The one more
question.
Yeah, sure.
Is would you say the other person in the Torah who's like that is like Avraham Avinu, who was also the one who went outside the Chalal Olam? He was also the one who was just an individual who was only shaches to his parents.
True, but I think by Avraham Avinu, you don't need the Torah to make a deal about it. That was the reality. Avraham Avinu basically, you can't attribute anything of Avraham Avinu to his father. So the Torah starts it that way, but with the Lech Lecha and completely cut yourself off and start something anew. But I think it's more obvious in Avram because Avram did make a radical change. Nobody would have made a mistake and say that the monotheism of Avram incorporates Terachite elements, even though today they probably would be able to, they would say these things. But it, learning the Psukim Kipshuto, he's a radical departure. Moshe Rabbeinu, Amram was a very chashviyid, Yocheved was a very chashva person, and the Mela, if it would say, from such a prestigious yichus, this is what it come out. This is, we would say this. There's a lot of this is bainus, the mashal. Torah does not go be Yerusha. And Shaloyomut, that Torah, it says, why is it not Motzi that the Mecham don't have Shalom Tamcham? One of the reasons is Shaloyomut that Torah goes be Yerusha. Because Torah is something that transcends. Kahuna deals with the Olam HaMitzvahs, which is physical, it's Lamaisa. Malchus deals with physical objects, with things of this world, and therefore they definitely belong to a certain Shevet, and a certain Shevet is much more capable than the other Shvatim. On the other hand, Torah is something that it would say that Torah cannot encompass everything. It would if Torah was limited to a particular lineage or a particular shevet, it would sort of be making a statement that Torah is one angle of Ruchnias. Torah is supposed to be the all-encompassing of Ruchnias. So in the world of Maisa, Lamashal, in the world of Maisa, I can either do this or do that. Mitzvahs on the Ge'ah, in the day, at night, on Yontif, on Shabbos, on the hand, on the foot. Every mitzvah, a kemat, has a clear definition. There's the mitzvah of Av and the mitzvah Yira. They're not at different times, they're not in different organs, but they occupy different segments of a person's mitzvahs. The Av part of the person's Av, the Yira part is Yira. Torah transcends it all. Torah is something that in its compass includes all the different chelkei avoda. That's why Torah is megen be'idna, not be'idna. It shouldn't be understood in terms of better, worse, stronger, weaker, more important, more holy, less holy. That automatically is wrong. It's something which is the Torah is. It's just like I do many things, but what puts it all together? So if I'm crazy, I'm whimsical, I just do things on whim, then nothing puts it together. If I'm not a bar das, then every minute I do things as my as my mood. If I'm a bar das, when I look at somebody who's very shrewd, I say, everything he's doing has a reason for it. He called, he didn't call. He invited, he didn't invite. He sent Reuven, he didn't send Reuven. I'm going to learn up everything a single time because I take it as a given. Nothing is done without das, or without purpose, without plan. So Torah, in the world of Torah versus mitzvahs are prat, and Torah is klal. In Torah, you darshan from one mesecta to another mesecta, totally irregardless. Iske shavaya you make kedushin and gittin the same set of halachas, despite the fact that they're kotzer lakotzer. So the metzias of Torah as opposed to other mitzvahs. It's also some. I guess once we're on the topic, Lamashal, the Rambam, famous Rambam says that a person is supposed to learn Yom V'layla and so on. If there's a mitzvah, Tzi Efshal says the Acherim, you go and do those mitzvahs. V'yachso l'talmudo. He should go back to his Talmudai. What are the words v'yachso l'talmudo? Of course, you know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I could be sitting and learning, or I need to help my wife cook for Shabbos. So it's mitzvah Shabbos as the Echerim. I go and help her cook for Shabbos. At 4 o'clock, I finish cooking for Shabbos, and now I have a shiloh what to do. So my choice is sit and learn or do nothing. So of course, I sit and learn. What does v'yachso l'talmudo mean? And a lot of people, everybody's medayik it. And the answer is poshut. It's not at 3 o'clock I have a chiyuv, and 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock, and each time I ask myself what I have to do. Talmud Torah is something which is encompassing. V'gizo yom v'layla gives it a certain element of a klal. My mind and myself is supposed to be in Talmud Torah. I'm supposed to be thinking about it. I'm supposed to be into it. There are interruptions that the Torah mandates, but I should never look at it as a new start. When I finish, so now I have a shiloh, what should I do at 4 o'clock? Oh, 4 o'clock, if you have nothing else to do, learning would be a good thing. It should be always seen as an interruption, because the big picture of Talmud Torah is that it's all-encompassing. So that's Moshe's chelik, and that's why everything that has to do with Torah, everything with Nevuas Moshe, Moshe's person, so on and so forth, has that nekuda. Any questions, any points?
Doesn't it still detract the fact that we did hear, the Torah does write who his parents are?
Well, afterwards, there are many reasons why we need to know. But it the Torah is making a point. It strikes you, this you know, until he was born, basically what he's saying, definitely the fact is out there. But the Torah makes a point that this is not the cause of Moshe Rabbeinu. So before Moshe was born, we don't have it listed, so as not to say they caused Moshe's mitzias. They're not Moshe's immediate cause.
I heard one of Shiurim that the Moshe was conscious in the Nevuah of that is Tzivui.
Moshe what?
That with Moshe was conscious in the Nevuah of Tzivui.
Right, Moshe said, yeah.
Okay. Moshe was the Avin Avim only Gabaret. What I mean is, the question is, is he considered Avin Avim Gabaret Avis?
He's considered Avin Avim Gabaret everything. In other words, no Navi can be seen to be Seisa Moshe Rabbeinu in any way whatsoever.
The Avis got the Navu from Moshe?
The Avis? Moshe, yes, in a sense that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Bechina of Nevuah as a possibility in this world, and the Avis are, chronologically, you know, Moshe came way after them. But in the picture of what it looks like, Moshe Rabbeinu is the Shorish of Nevuah, the Bechol Beis Neman, the whole Metzias of Moshe Rabbeinu, and everyone else is a Hamshacha from that Koyach, so to speak. Even if chronologically it's
yeah,
not.
No, what I'm saying, one of the questions is, if Moshe Rabbeinu is Chadish Nevuah of Tzava, perhaps as any, no Navi can be Mitzava against Moshe, but maybe the others were, the Nevuah for themselves, that they had to draw it out from Moshe also?
I don't know. I mean, the Rambam, the one who says this point about Tzava is the Rambam or Nevuchim, that told Moshe Rabbeinu, no Navi ever came along and told people Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded to do thus and thus. They just told them the idea and so on. I'm not sure. I don't know about the point you're raising. Okay. Good. So, good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Shabbos, thank you.